everybody leave. And as I just saw those guys go out, for those who don't know me, I teach elementary phys ed, and that's kind of my crowd there. So you guys are a little different size, different age than them, but we'll have a little fun together. You know, as preparing for this, you know, the title is To Remember, and one of the verses that pops up is in Exodus, where it says, the Lord said to Moses, go tell the king of Egypt to let the Israelites go out of the country. But Moses said to the Lord, if the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips? So if I stumble at all this morning, just be patient with me, as God used Moses along the way too. Let's enjoy some time. We get to look at some scripture here, and open in prayer. Say, Lord, we do thank you for your blessings, for your word. And we pray as we look at your word today that that your Holy Spirit just speaks to us. And we're all at different places, and I just pray that, you know, your word is able to minister, to teach, to direct, to lead. And I just thank you for that. And just thank you for loving us the way you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So memories, you know, how does a song bring back a memory? You know, we sang this morning, and that's going to be different for each of us. We sang this morning, Holy, 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 and later on we're going to sing Great is Thy Faithfulness. And both of those songs bring me back to a campground service back in 1982 on the West Coast when I was on a solo bicycle trip. And that's when I was 23 years old. I rode my bike cross country, and those are two songs that they had at the campground. And I cut them out and put them in my bike bag, and I took them with me, and I sung them pretty much every day. And variations of them. I made up my own verses along the way. And it was kind of a time for me to reflect and remember how God saw me through a growing time in my life and my faith. And I'm sure you can think of an experience where a song or a verse sort of helped you as well. You kind of may have a memory from that time. And it may be a time where you grew in your faith, and you kind of go back and you hear that and you think back of what it meant, and you kind of put yourself back in that time zone. You know, and sometimes we think we're prepared for something, too. We think we're ready for it. Like on that trip, I thought I was ready to do a lot of different things, and I had it in my mind planned out. But really, a lot of things changed along the way, and I'm sure that it happened to you as well. And some other situations that I've had in life that growth has happened that have been different, like getting married. I think about that verse, a cord of three is not easily broken. And that cord of three being God in the middle of it, you know, holding us together. Yeah, I once had a job that wasn't really working out, and there was a chorus of a song that said, nothing will happen to me this day, nothing good, nothing bad, nothing will happen to me this day without going through my Father's hands. And I remember singing that a lot when I was going off to that job and saying, boy, you know, it's going to be a struggle today, and God is with me. And then when we had children, we started listening to those songs, the GT and the Halo Express, where they took all those, a lot of Bible verses and put them to music, and those were the songs that whenever my kids are around, they still kind of joke about some of those songs that they still stick in their minds. Then as all of a sudden you have teenagers and it's their music you're listening to and remembering or maybe not wanting to remember. But, you know, yeah, how about you? You all have, you know, memories of things, and you sort of link memories to significant events in your life. You know, some of you may have joined the military and had an expectation when you went to boot camp what it would be like, and probably when you got there it was a lot different than what you thought. You know, maybe you left where you grew up, moved to a different area. Maybe you bought a home. Maybe there's the death of a loved one in a family. You know, those are all memories you probably can think back on and you reflect on very often. Today I'm going to look at a number of Bible verses that tell us about remembering events and reminding us of lessons learned from those events. And events can have different memories for individuals. You know, what one person remembers or your memory recalls it, somebody else may remember it differently. If you root for any sport teams, somebody's rooting for the other team, so the memory that one person has if your team wins may be different than the memory the other person has if they're on the losing side. And even within families, you know, so your sibling group, sometimes siblings remember things differently than how you remembered them growing up. So for some, you know, memories can be painful, and for others, memories bring a lot of positive thoughts. You know, and that can be true when we read the Bible verses too. Sometimes there's a verse that really speaks to you in a certain way, and it doesn't really speak to, or it may speak to somebody else in a different way. And that's kind of where we are in life sometimes. You're praying for the Holy Spirit to be working those verses, working His Word in your life. You know, for me, I grew up in central New Jersey. I was the fourth of five kids. I felt bad for my sister. I had one sister and four boys, and I have a background in a Lutheran church. So, you know, we went to church on Sundays. We had Sunday school. We had VBS in the summer. We had family devotions at night and prayed before our meals. And those were, you know, in 7th and 8th grade, we went through confirmation classes. And, you know, I look back, and those are memories that were formative in my years there. And I'm sure each of you either had something similar to that or maybe something very different than that, with no church background at all. You know, the Bible is filled with stories as well and events. And some here today, when you look at these stories, some of these stories may be familiar to you, and some of them may not be familiar. But we're going to look at a few of them, or parts of a few of them, and really focus on ways of remembering. So in the Old Testament, we see a pattern of God providing and meeting needs for growing people. And many of the same people soon forgot how God led them in that time. And our first story comes from Joshua. And in Joshua, there was a pile of stones he used. Now, out front of our church by the entrance sign was a pile of stones. Now, right now, it's kind of a remnant of that pile. If you look at it where it says entrance there, that Pastor West did a sermon a number of years ago. I don't know if you guys remember. Anybody remember that sermon? All right, yeah, a few people there. So you look at these words here. It says, you know, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests were standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stand tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. You know, in that verse there, you know, Joshua is told to get 12 stones, bring them over and make that pile. You know, sort of the question is, what's your pile of stones? What's your memorial? What do you use to help you remember an event that happened? You know, how do you pass on that memories to the next generation? You know, do you hang a picture on a wall, or maybe you put something on a calendar each year to remember something? You know, and these landmarks are there to help you remember. And it's challenging, because in the rest of the book of Joshua, God's leading the people through into the promised land, and great things are happening. But all of a sudden, we get to that next generation in Judges chapter 2. It says, after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, they all passed away, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. So that was just one generation. And, you know, so there's such a challenge in our lives how to pass on those significant events to the next generation. And really, the Holy Spirit worked in your life in a certain way at a certain time, and you're praying that it does that for the same for those who follow you. You're praying that they get the same convictions, the same growth that you had. And the same is true sometimes for special days. You know, in Exodus, you know, Moses had just led the people out of Egypt, and they were camped out in their divisions, and Moses is talking to the people, and he says, you know, eat unleavened bread during those 7 days. Nothing with yeast in it is to be seen among you, nor shall any yeast be seen anywhere within your borders. On that day, tell your son, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. This observance will be for you like a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead that this law of the Lord is to be on your lips. For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with his mighty hand. You must keep this ordinance at the appointed time each year. So there's a, you know, there's a day the Israelites came out of Egypt. You know, they're having this feast, and it's sort of I like how they said it's a sign, like a sign on your hand and a mark on your forehead. So it's pretty obvious, and I sometimes think of the sign on the hand as from It's a Wonderful Life, Uncle Billy having all those ribbons tied around his fingers there to help him remember things. You know, and you know, that was his way of doing it. Didn't always work for Uncle Billy, though, did it? So he had a little trouble with that. But, you know, what do you do to help you remember? You know, how can you use a meal to help remember how God saw you through a new experience or a challenging experience? And maybe, you know, it's when you sit down and you talk about what happened, how God used that day when you're sitting down to have a meal together. And it's amazing how quickly we can forget, though, what God has done in our lives. Because over in Exodus 15, all of a sudden they crossed the Red Sea, and so the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? And later on in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, There we sat around pots of meat and we ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out in this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. It's kind of a morbid group to be around, but that's what they are called to do. And it's amazing how quickly then God provides them with manna, right? So, okay, so we'll have more food to eat. Now, sometimes we're provided with things and quickly we grumble or quickly we forget. And you know, things that the challenge is, what can you do to help you remember how God has seen you through these challenges, how God has seen you? So the Israelites were let out. They're in a position here, and they're provided with manna. But then in Numbers 11, it goes on with this same group that says, the ramble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and saying, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, also the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. But now we have lost our appetite, and we never see anything but this manna. So you can see quickly how we can start complaining about what we do have and looking for the next thing. You know, as they also start reflecting on what's called the good old days, and sometimes we have that same problem when we're looking back at those good old days and how good they were, and they really were a little more challenging than we think, because as they look back and they want this food, you know, earlier, before Moses was born, at Moses' time of his birth, you know, the people in Egypt, there's a verse in Exodus 1 where it says that Pharaoh gave this order to all the people. So the Israelites were becoming a little too numerous here. So his way of solving it was to throw every Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but let the girls live. So the good old days for them weren't quite as good back in Egypt as they seem to say they were. And we sometimes slip back in that same mindset at times. You know, is it when you get in trouble that you start wondering why you committed to something, and you say, oh, if I shouldn't have done this, or, you know, you start reflecting and kind of grumbling about things, if I only went back. But really, that's the situation you're in. Every day is a day given to you, and it doesn't say every day is going to be easy for you. You know, for some, sometimes we do journaling to look back. You know, for us, I look at our family, we have a couple pictures there, and, you know, we often see a family, and we say, oh, that's a nice family. You know, we're at the Grand Canyon of Yellowstone in Yellowstone Park there. And, you know, my oldest is 13, my youngest is 2, and we drove cross-country that summer. And, you know, it looks like a nice family, but, you know, and then here we are 20-something years later, so our family's gotten a little bigger. We have some grandkids now and a bunch of, you know, our kids are married, and you say, those are great shots. But as I tell my wife, so many times when we see just a picture of people, we just sort of see the icing on the cake. You know, there's so much more to a family than and what goes on in those families. You know, the struggles that we went through those last, you know, 30 years as we raised children. For Liz and I, we've married for 30, going on 36 years. You know, the growth that took place there. And many of you out there helped us through those times, you know, those difficult times. And we've been also there to help other people through challenging times as well. So as we see a picture like that, we sometimes forget about the hard times it is to get to that next spot. You know, I'm trying to look at you know, so when I looked at that picture there, the funny thing is my oldest son has 3 preschoolers, and we had 3 preschoolers as well. And we often say, oh, those are fun years. But then when we go up there, my wife and I were spending the last weekend up there with them, helping them out, and we were sort of in charge of the kids for 2 days. All right, we were exhausted, and those fun times are pretty darn challenging. So we pray a lot, and we keep them in prayer. Now in Genesis 12, it says another verse here. So the Lord says to Abram, go from your country and your people and your father's household to a land I'll show you, and I'll make you into a great nation. I'll bless you, and I'll make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. And I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I'll curse. And all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram's called to leave his people, all right, his father's house, and go to a land he's going to be shown, and he's going to bless other people. He's going to be a blessing. But it's so easy to start seeing our blessings as accomplishments. You know, sometimes we start putting it on ourselves. Well, in Deuteronomy 8, it kind of brings us back, you know, where it says, you know, may you say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember, the Lord is your God. It is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as to this day. And, you know, this should keep us humbled and remind us not to be proud of accomplishments. You know, God has given us the ability to gain wealth and to work, and he's given us your giftedness. You know, what I found in my life, that, you know, when we had little, when we struggled, we were also thankful for all the little things that we got along the way. And sometimes as we gain more wealth, sometimes one of those things that I have to really work to remember, you know, to kind of say, okay, is God, again, who's given me this opportunity to work and what we can get from it. But it's kind of a, you know, I do think, like I go back to even when I was cycling cross country, those little things that, you know, every day, every meal, people you met each day were reminders that how much I was depending on God. And maybe that's why, like in Exodus 20, where he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You know, you look at that day, and there's a reason that's out there. You know, how many of us need to slow down? You know, we need to think each day and think about each week. You know, we need to count our blessings. We need to reflect on God and, you know, pray on others and meet needs. Remember how God has met our needs. And you know, so often we want to keep going. You know, we have the next plan, you know, the next thing to do. So remembering that Sabbath day, you know, is such an important thing. And like I was just sharing before, with my bike trip, you know, my days at 10 miles an hour going across the country were pretty slow. You know, a lot of praying, a lot of songs along the way. I didn't quite know where I'd sleep that night, so I'd, you know, praying throughout the day about that, especially as the evening or the late days came. You know, a lot of times I slept by roadside rest areas or town parks or behind a church. You know, I met a lot of great people along the way, and as they were to bless me, as they were to bless them. And there are a few negative experiences along the way, too, but even through that, God saw me through. And, you know, during that time of that trip, I grew so much in my peace in God because, you know, when you start sleeping along the side of a road, you start hearing sounds at night, and you can imagine things happening. And you kind of have to push that aside and just thank God for the day. And when you wake up in the morning, thank Him for the morning. And it kind of gave me a great peace as I going through life as far as a growing experience there. And you could put yourself maybe in some of those same experiences, you know, something different for you, but a challenge where you remember God's love in you for you. You know, how He was there even when things weren't going your way. And there are many Christians around the world today who are being persecuted and they're still praising God. So it doesn't mean things are going to be easy. In Senegal, where Pastor Kent and Marty and Scott are, just 5% of the population are considered Christians there. And I'm sure Christian fellowship is very different than it is over here. Now, let's take a look at a couple of New Testament verses and some things that it calls us to do. In Matthew 28, 19 to 20, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And what are Christians called to do? You know, they're called to make disciples, to seek the lost. You know, how does that scripture speak to you? You know, you look at it a second there. You think, okay, this is what God's telling us. In Matthew 6, 19 to 21, it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths or vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. You know, what's God saying in those words to you? You know, where's your treasures? You know, it's kind of a battle sometimes when we get busy in life to really think where we are putting our priorities. In Matthew 22, 37 to 39, it tells us the greatest commandment, where Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself, and all the law of the prophets is hung on these commands. Again, what's Jesus saying to you there? You know, what are we talking to doing? You know, how are we looking at things? How are we looking at people we see each day? Are we loving God first each day? You know, are we loving those around us? There are many other verses in the Bible that talk about, you know, looking out for the poor, those in prison, or the orphans or widows. And sometimes we can easily forget the basics and conveniently leave out what we don't want to, that doesn't fit into our agenda. You know, I think about communion. We celebrated communion last week, and that is such a, you know, slow down time and really think, you know, why do we celebrate communion? And it's just really to remember God's love for us, you know, that He sent His one and only Son. You know, slow down and think of that each time we have communion, reflecting on that. And the disciples, they had some of the same problems with memory as they had in the Old Testament, and the same problem that we have too. You look at a couple of verses where Jesus is trying to talk to them about what's going to happen in the days ahead, you know, His death that's going to happen. And they kind of like, yeah, 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 yeah. You know, they're not really thinking that far ahead. Well, in Mark 14, it sort of starts coming a little bit more home, where Jesus says, "You will fall away." Jesus told them, "For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." And Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not. I tell you the truth." Jesus answered, "Before the rooster crows twice, you'll disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die for you, I'll never disown you." And all the others said the same. So Jesus was arrested that night. And then in the early morning, this here's just a few verses down, when a servant girl saw him there, she said to him and those standing around, "This fellow is one of them." Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, "Surely you're one of them. You're a Galilean." He began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't even notice, man, you're talking about." Immediately, the rooster crowed a second time. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you'll disown me three times." And he broke down and wept. And in the book of Luke, it says that the Lord turned and looked at Peter. So imagine how Peter felt. You know, how does that speak to you? You know, how many times have you been in Peter's place where all of a sudden you get convicted that way? And the good news is, you know, it wasn't the end of the story for Peter, but it was sort of the beginning of the story for him. You know, he got a chance to experience God's grace as he went forward, his forgiveness. And then he gets restored. And any of us can be restored for when we call upon his name. And there are three words that I sometimes, as we're getting close to the end here, as I think about as, you know, to help us to just stay reflected on. And the first word is trust. You know, do you trust God? And when we read through Scripture, sometimes if you see the word "I believe," you know, put the word "trust" in there and just kind of see if it adds a little different meaning to it. You know, the second word is grace. All right, Grace Community Church. We have unmerited favor. Every time you see that in the New Testament, just substitute, just think, unmerited favor. You know, the grace of God. All right, and it's something that we don't deserve. And the third is the gospel. And in John 3:16, it kind of sums it up this way: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Now today, as we remember, you know, Pastor Kent and Scott and Marty in Senegal, meeting new people, all right? I know their prayer request is for, you know, guidance as they go about each day, because they're nervous, all right? They don't know, they're stretching themselves. They're relying on God to lead them. They're in an unfamiliar surrounding. Next year, this time, I know they're going to be thinking back when it hit March 1st, where was I last year? You know, the sight and sounds that were going on over there in Dakar. Next week, we have a meal after the service and a time for hear from Kent and Scott and Marty. You know, see if you can plan ahead. You know, slow down, you know, hear what they're happening. There's so much to learn, and there's so much for us to remember. You know, as we go on now this week, you know, what's God teaching you? You know, we're all at different stages of life, and yet we're all part of God's body, his church. So when we walk out these doors today, you know, live as people that remember that we are saved by grace and we are loved by God. Amen. So let's pray. I'll say, Lord, we do thank you for your word, and just pray as we go forward, we're able to stay focused on how you have led us. Stay focused on your word. Stay focused on what you've done, and that we can see those markers in our lives and just reflect on them, knowing that you are always there in good times and in bad. Help us to encourage others, and at times see them so that we can minister to them. And just thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.